Welcome to the ClickZ Marketing Masters podcast. I'm joined today by Christopher Kenner, CEO and co-founder of Brand Advance. Brand Advance connects brands with diverse audiences globally through comprehensive data and insight, media planning and buying, partnerships and content that more authentically engage these communities. Brand Advance has over 350 global partners across diversity media, BAME, LGBTQ+, age, religion, gender, disability, queer, and Gen Z, plus many other hard-to-reach demographics across 150 countries. Chris is also the Director of Diversity and Inclusion at Outvertising, the advertising industry lobbying group, and as a mixed-race, out-gay father, he is a strong advocate for diverse content being coupled with authentic placement within the media owners that reach these communities. So Chris, welcome to the ClickZ Marketing Masters podcast. What do you think makes a great marketing leader? And I'm asking you that both because I think you are a great marketing leader. You know, you've done some incredible things, which we'll come on to in a minute, but also because you're interacting with some really great marketing leaders as well. A lot of your clients who are very forward thinking. So I wonder whether you've got a couple of ideas of what makes a great marketing leader.
I am inspired by people that listen as much as they talk in leadership, especially in marketing. Marketing is led a lot by trends, but it's also fed from what's happening in society, because that's what, you know, that's what us as marketeers, that's what our clients are paying us to do, to be at the forefront of that. But I get really inspired by leaders that listen to what that is and don't just think it's what they learned when they were in uni and now they're just going to keep rehashing same versions of it. I'm inspired by the ideas of how to make the best of change. There's been a lot of change recently in every way, you know, from cookieless through to diversity and what clients are actually asking us to respond to in their pitches through to many, many things, the metaverse, all of these fantastic opportunities. But marketing can't be done like marketing was done 20 years ago anymore. It doesn't work. That model was made for that time, and now we're in a new time with new technologies and new wants and needs of our clients and of society. A great leader listens, reflects, and then gives ideas rather than just trying to shoehorn the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of putting it, because ultimately marketing rests upon that concept of being able to understand the consumer and what's happening in their world. And so you really have to have that ability to listen, as you say. Yeah. And if you're listening, then you'll realize there's lots of things which are changing in the consumer's world, whether it be around the technology or the broader environment. You know, COVID's obviously been a massive change. But coming to the area that you specialize in now, which is all around engaging with and understanding those minority communities, how have you seen it change over the last decade? And how have global brands and marketers dealt with that change?
It hasn't changed over the last decade. It's changed over the last 3 years. All honesty. There's been talk for, you know, over the last decade. There's been some great panels and there's been some great keynote speakers. But actual change, let's call change spending on minority-owned and operated media. Let's call change the percentage of people represented within the ads going up. That only happened in the last 3 years.
Really. What do you think has brought that change about in the last 3 years?
COVID, this perfect storm. And I really, you know, I know the tragedy of COVID. I'm certainly not calling it a perfect anything. I mean, situational, the perfect storm of COVID, murder of George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, because Black Lives Matter marches happened 4 years before George Floyd was murdered. It was just a black thing back then. But then all of a sudden when everything from everyone on earth was stripped away to the bare necessities of life, then we all started to look inward and outward and around, and we started to notice things that we didn't notice before. And very fortunate for me, because I'm a black guy, people started to notice black. And then from then they noticed LGBT and disability and inequality, and clients noticed it on the same day as agency leaders noticed it. And that was all within the same week as society noticed it. And so it was this perfect storm of everybody checking themselves all at the same time. And, you know, when a brand leader checks themselves, obviously they're going to take that into, oh, what am I doing at work? How am I interacting with my work colleagues? What am I doing in my marketing plans? Oh gosh, when was the last time I seen black or LGBT media in that plan? Does that make me bad? Okay, let me go and ask questions of my agency. And then when questions are asked of the agency, then they need to learn and offer that expertise, that insight back, because that's what they're paid to do. So I'm going to say something a little bit controversial, but up until a few years ago, marketing was done wrong. Because there's no such thing as marketing and then culture marketing. Marketing is reaching as many people as possible and getting them to buy that product or service. That's it. It's really as simple as that. There's lots of methods of doing it. There's lots of channels. There's lots of very creative ways you can do that. But at its very basic foundation, you just need to get people to buy stuff or to go somewhere, to have a call to action of what you need them to do. Never in there did it say, do that only if they're white, or only if they're straight, or only if they're able-bodied, or only if they have a conventional family. You know, that's not what marketing said. That's what society decided. So marketing has only recently been done correctly. Only recently can we call it marketing. Before it was the niche. It was still niche marketing, because sort of you hear words like niche and culture marketing and niche marketing. The niche was, it was only speaking to one very specific part of society. You know, now that it's opening itself up to everyone in society and different players like Brand Advance and Deca and Cultural Intelligence and other things we've got in our group of companies, but also other players like Diversity Standards Collective and agencies, in-house elements like OMG Unite and Media Calm and Mindshare that are all really stepping up on this, and Wavemaker, etc., and other agency groups as well.
So is it a combination of two things? One, better creative, more inclusive creative, so representation of people from different backgrounds in the pictures and the video, but also internally to the agencies, having teams, having creative directors, art directors who themselves come from minority backgrounds. Are both of those equally important, or is one of those more important than the other?
They're both equally important, but that's not what spurred the massive leap forwards that we've made in media and advertising. What spurred it was the clients. They asked for it in the pitches.
So that's fantastic. So I suppose you're dealing with clients who get it, though, right? I mean, you know, almost by definition, what you do at Brand Advance is work with clients who want to reach these communities. But do you see there being quite a few brands who are late to the game, who don't quite understand it, or who are resisting? Or is this now universal across all brands? They're all moving in the same direction?
I mean, nothing's ever universal, is it? There's always somebody somewhere that's not. It's quite widespread now. The brands that didn't get it, for example, that put the definition of beauty and off British society is just Kate Moss, and therefore every year used to stick Kate Moss live in their window, they don't exist anymore. Brands that really do not get it, they just won't survive. It's not possible.
So in a way, it's reflecting the way that society has changed, because we all accept that in our day-to-day, and it normalizes what is normal, but is the actual advertising that we've seen has been abnormal in that sense, because it hasn't accurately represented that. And I want to just, you know, we're talking about some of the brands who haven't got it, but you also work with brands who really do get it. Could you give us a couple of examples of campaigns or brands that have worked with you to really engage successfully with minority communities?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots. And so if I name a few, I'm not leaving the rest out. People that really are interested, I would say go onto the Brand Advance website and see all the logos for all the brands that are working with us. But some that step out are GSK, because they're sort of doing it in every market, mm-hmm. you know, and have fully embraced and understood that the markets that sometimes themselves think they don't have any diversity are probably if the definition of diversity, having diversity in your society, is having people that are not ethnically born from that country, yeah, or that one strand, and then the other strands is having people of a different religion, sexual orientation, ability, over 50. There is no country on earth that's not diverse, but some of the countries like Dubai, where, you know, they might say, well, we're not the most diverse place, but actually only 20% of the people that live in Dubai are from Dubai. Everyone else is from somewhere else. So yeah, you're probably one of the most diverse countries in the world by that definition, you know? So, I think, yeah, GSK did some great campaigns. We've done a campaign, in Brazil. They have sort of singing superstar drag queens, people like Pablo Vittar, and we worked with one called Leah Clark, did her life story as an ad for Advil in Brazil. Did really well. The media spend part of it, we put it in LGBT media as well as mainstream media. We stuck it on YouTube, didn't put any spend behind YouTube, and it got like 4.5 million views in its first month. So it was really well accepted over there, even in a society that might have taken a few steps back recently. So that was one.
Just on those examples, what are the metrics that the brand uses for success there? I mean, classically, they'd be things like sales, but I imagine it's not that, or even brand awareness. But is it something around being able to engage with new audiences, new communities? How are they measuring what makes a success?
The exact same way as they would measure if you made them an ad. Exactly the same. So it'd be view-through rates, click-through rates. Sometimes it's on conversion. There's brand uplift studies. Yeah, it's still the same. I think having ads that engage diverse communities is not to be mistaken for sort of savior campaigning.
And you make the point very well, I think, that there's a commercial imperative here. It's not just a nice thing to do. There's actually real business that can you're growing the size of your market. You're getting more customers because you're reaching communities that want to buy your stuff, have money that you haven't been able to in the past. So there's that commercial imperative together with that responsibility, which I think most big companies, most companies now understand they have a responsibility to society. And as marketers, we have a responsibility to help shape that society, you know, particularly advertising. It's so powerful. So I think that, you know, those things now show an evolution in the role in which advertising and marketers play in shaping that society. I want to just kind of switch course a little bit and talk about the technology that sits behind advertising as well, because there are some inherent problems in the way that technology, some people have called, for example, search institutionally racist in the results it gives back. One of the challenges, I think, in media is the way that brand safety tools, for example, will often block some content which is very relevant for a particular community just because of a few keywords. Is this something, I mean, you come up against this every day, I imagine, with your campaigns, but is this something that you're seeing is changing? And if not, why is this problem still persisting?
It is changing fast. Brands are now across the board checking their keyword block lists, speaking with their vendors, and adding minority-owned and operated media to their brands, and therefore to inclusion lists. Also looking at how, you know, where their technology is blocking things. So if it sees a word like gay, does it block the whole URL to the whole site? Or is it just going to read the content? Because we're moving away from cookies, this is actually a godsend to minority-owned and operated media, to diversity media and the landscape as a whole. And because of the loss of the cookie, everybody's moving to contextual now. Rather than blocking a word, saying whether it's a positive, negative, or neutral sentiment around that word really helps diversity media, because there's still some really bad categorizations in some systems, you know, where all LGBT media is sexually explicit, you know, and it's a categorization of that media. That needs to change. It is changing. It's obviously not changing fast enough, because it should, you know, in my eyes, should have switched off the bad stuff one day and made it all good the next day. But we all know that, you know, life doesn't work like that. So it's not moving fast enough, but it's moving, and I'll keep banging on the drum and the door and standing on stage and doing, you know, being invited to great podcasts like this to push it. And we all need to push it. It's all of our duty, no matter what race, religion, sexual orientation, age, or ability you are. We all need to push ourselves and how we act, but also push our partners, ask questions in work, look around. If you see an injustice, if you see a piece of technology that you know is doing something that's not quite fair to a particular community, then asking them questions and asking for a solution is all of our responsibility.
Wow. Well, no, thank you for also being that sort of voice, because I, you know, I've seen you on stage a couple of times now at conferences where you've been putting that point across and kind of, you know, being the champion. But I think you're right that the responsibility now needs to move beyond just champions like yourself to all of us, to what we can do within our own organisations and driving technologies as well, checking that those technologies are delivering and not punishing those communities that we're setting out to support. Just looking, as we start to wrap things up now, what do you think are the big challenges that you foresee as you're looking ahead to 2022 that you think we have to address with regards to continuing to ensure the industry is more diverse and inclusive?
Brands need brands to ensure they keep this pressure on the industry by mandating things, by having diversity, whether it's in creative, in the team, the very team that is being put to work on your brand, having that written into the procurement process. Another thing we need to watch is these new emerging technologies. Technology is fantastic. I love tech. We are building our own. We've just launched our own platform so that all agencies can do what we do in-house, basically. But the thing with tech is, it is as biased as the team that built it, because they write code from what they know, from what they think it should do. And then from that day henceforth, the technology will only do what them noughts and ones told it to do. And that's it. It's not the technology's fault. It's not even the builder, you know, the developer's fault. But we know that that's a problem. You know, we know that technology, AI and stuff like that, trains itself to be as uneven as society because it's being inputted into by society. So we need to make sure we now acknowledge that. And as new technologies, as we make a metaverse and all of this stuff that's coming up, that's really going to launch forward quickly. I can see it launching forward quickly. I think we need to make sure that we remember the mistakes of the past. And so we make sure that it's being built with different communities, different abilities in mind. We need to make sure that things that are being discussed in the online harms bill, child safety, fake news, etc., is being thought about while you're building a metaverse. It's all great. It looks fantastic with all these avatars being able to chat to each other. But who's sat on the other end of that avatar? Is that a safe environment?
So those are some of the challenges. And I think you've kind of given us a few things to think about there in terms of what we as individuals and as communities can do to try and make the world better over the next year. What are the things that you're really excited about, though? I mean, you mentioned technology, but what other things in the industry are you excited about coming up? Are you excited about metaverse? I mean, you know, it's one of the, it's the buzzword for 2022, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. And I am. It will give access to people and places and knowledge and hopefully give us a seamless experience. So yeah, I'm excited with that. I'm excited for 2022 because there's been a lot of brand and agency commitment to a lot of spend. I mean, billions and billions of spend in minority owned and operated media for this year. So I'm excited to see that materialize and see what that means for the great catch up of community media, minority owned media, catching up with the rest of media landscape in scale. And I think this year you're going to see some big players pop up. We own our own publications ourselves, and we want to be part of that. So I think that's going to be a big thing. And I'm excited. This is a very personal and selfish thing, but I'm excited for myself to be going and sort of doing what I've done in the UK and Europe, and going to do that in the US. And yeah, I'm excited for that. It's going to be good. I recently wrote a sort of open letter to the industry, just sort of saying it's taken its toll. You know, if every day, and do not get me wrong, I have thoroughly enjoyed the privilege of having people that I admired now speaking to me equally and being on the same stage as the greats within the industry and feeling equal and just as listened to, and actually having them come and saying, you know, wanting to learn something from me. That's been great. But there's been a flip side to it, and that is every time I speak or I'm on a stage or I do a podcast or a TV interview or blah, 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 I have to talk about a little bit of trauma, because that's what makes people empathize with it or to understand what it is I'm talking about. Society's wrong. Let me tell you why. Because I'm a black guy, or I'm a gay guy, and these are my experiences. So it's meant that sort of the last 3 years I've had to keep reliving weekly, sometimes daily, the not great parts of my life. And so it's taken its toll, and it's a little bit of the reason why I'm sort of like, okay, I've got two more years where I can do that. Because it really does take its toll. I had to get a bit of counseling and stuff just to stop reliving the same moments over and over again, you know?
Well, thank you, Chris. I can understand what you're saying there in terms of having to relive this so often, because you do convey it so powerfully and so personally. You know, I really do want to thank you for sharing that with us, and the fact that you're doing that and continue to do that and have committed to doing that in the US now as well, taking it to new markets. But it's been really fascinating to have you on the podcast today and to hear so much about how this whole area has developed. And, you know, you and Brand Advance and your team have been at the forefront of helping to drive some of these changes. So thank you for sharing your insights with us today. And I think we've touched upon a lot of areas, but it really reiterates to me the responsibility which we as marketers, whether that be brands, advertisers or ad technologists, we have a responsibility to be able to ensure that the tools we're creating, the campaigns we're building, the creative we're producing, all of those things, we need to be thinking about what impact they have on the communities and on the society that we want to build, that is our community and our society. And I think, you know, you've told us about this, of how things have changed in those last few years, the great catch-up, as you've called it. And now it's a question of how can we scale that? How can we ensure that the brands right around the world and advertisers are able to scale that and use some of those insights? So we've covered a lot of ground there, Chris. I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.